special time together. They'll practice their Christmas program, and they will have a lesson on their level. Up here, we will be considering together Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. And if you have a Bible, I'd really love to have you turn there, because everything that I have to say is only as important as it reflects what we read here. This is the Word of God. And it will be my attempt today to make it clear and practical and applicable. But it's the Word of God that has the power and authority. And I hope that you'll get your nose in it, you read it, you see that it's there, and you apply it to your own personal life. And before we take time to open the Word together, which is my great privilege to lead, I'd like you to join me together as we approach His throne of grace. Lord, it is an enormous blessing and privilege to know that You hear us when we call to You, that You have a throne, and it's a throne of authority and power. But it's also a throne of grace, that You invite us to come, You welcome us to come, and You heed our prayers, and You mingle our prayers with Your sovereign will for this world and for our lives. We're so grateful for all these blessings. And Lord, I come today to pray for this time together. And I pray that there would be something here for every person, that as we break the bread, that everyone would eat. But Lord, as You have directed me to make this special application to parents, I pray especially for the parents. And I pray very sincerely that You would help them in this very important and challenging task that You have put before us. Lord, we look at our children and we see Your glory there. We see these little images of God, and we're in awe of You. But then it hits us, the weightiness of what You've called us to do. So I come to You to pray for Your help and to pray for Your encouragement and to pray that You would breathe into our parents hope and breathe into our parents instruction. And I pray that You would use me as Your vessel to deliver this message. And even as Craig prayed for me earlier, I pray that every word that I speak would be the words that are inspired by You, that You would be speaking through an instrument of clay. And Lord, we're excited to see what You will do, because we see the powerful potential of the application of these principles in our families, and we see the potential for growth and success and the kind of fruit and productivity that You can bring. So I pray that You would do Your good work as only You can do it. And we praise You in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. As Pastor Josh mentioned earlier, this message is an extension of last week's message with a very special application specifically for parents. Frankly, as parents, and I've been one, I am one, been at different stages of parenting, I know that you need hope, you need help, you need encouragement, you need instruction, and we hope that this message will provide all of those things for this vitally important, complex, and demanding job that God has put in your lap. Many of you are in the heart of it right now. You've got babies, you've got young kids trying to get it figured out. What do we do? How do we handle situations? And I honestly just want to come alongside you this morning with the Word of God and to show you that God has something to say about this very important, weighty responsibility. how do we do this? Honestly, I know you all want to do it well. So how do you do it? Where do you go to look for the answers? Well, I think parents look to experts, people who have studied this. They look to their own backgrounds and their own perhaps family traditions. Maybe you're looking deep inside and saying, what do I feel like we should do? You look at your own upbringing and you maybe are a reflection of it or a reaction to it because it was done well or not. Or maybe you're just waiting for experience to be your teacher. Or maybe you have friends to talk to. And all of these might have some level of value. But there is nothing so valuable as the one authoritative voice for parenting principles. And that is the revelation of the one who created our children, who blessed us with our children, and who has given to our children purpose. The word of the Most High God. God has given us his word, and he has something to say about this. And then we are going to get to Deuteronomy 6. But I want to pivot for a moment and go to something that I think will help us in the context of what we're about to read. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have the Apostle Paul speaking to his young son in the faith, Timothy, and encouraging him and instructing him of how he should proceed as he goes forward in his life and ministry. And he lays out a context for what to expect as we near the end of the age, in the last days. And the Bible describes these days as perilous times. He says in 2 Timothy 3, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And then he goes on to describe certain moral perils. Men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, heady, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. If that doesn't describe our age, I don't know what does. And that's a context in which we will have to raise our children. And then, so there are certain moral perils. Then he talks about religious perils. Verse 5, they will have a form of godliness, but deny its power. He says, from such people turn away. And I'm going to skip down to verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So there'll be ways of living that'll be put out there and ways of believing that'll be put out there. And we'll have to make choices about how we'll direct our children. And our children will have to make choices about how they'll live and what they'll believe. And how do we do this? Well, in that type of a culture, in that description of the perilous times, we have a but in verse 14. Okay, because so far you say, I thought you were going to encourage us. Well, I am, and here it is. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So continue in the things that you have been taught. And the things that Timothy had been taught by his mother and grandmother were the word of God. And the things that Timothy had been taught by Paul the Apostle was the word of God. He says that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness. So in the Word of God, we have the inspired words of the Most High God that are profitable to teach us, to show us where we get off and need to course correct, to show us how to course correct, and then to show us how to live righteously. It's all here, and it is a sufficient source of revelation for our lives and our parenting. And I, last but not least, is verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that. That's encouraging. To be thoroughly equipped to do this job, he says, what you need is the Word of God. And there are, and I have taught this for many years and tried to practice it and implement it in my own home, there are two pillar passages that are essential summaries of parenting philosophy. And you can, it's not hard to comprehend. It's simple as it's laid out. I'm not going to say that it's easy. If you ever find a book that says parenting made easy, I'm not sure you should buy it, okay? Because I'm not sure I buy it. It's hard, but it's not complex. It's simple. There are two pillar passages. And one of them is the passage that we'll be considering today, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and beginning in verse 4. The other, we won't get to today, is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And I sometimes have illustrated this way, that this is the Route 64 route of parenting, Route 64, Deuteronomy 6, 4, following in Ephesians 6, 4. The setting of Deuteronomy 6, as Pastor Josh is playing out, is this. The children of Israel have come through the wilderness wanderings, and the promised land lay before them. They're about to enter in, and it was a land of bottomless peril. There were moral perils. This was an exceedingly wicked land. In fact, Israel was going to be God's instrument of judgment upon the land of Canaan and the peoples that lived there. So there were these moral perils, and then there were the religious perils, the idols that were there that these people claimed and lived by and tried to trust. And so Moses is challenging and reminding the people of the truth that could help them to be successful as his covenant people as they enter the promised land, and to cope with the moral and religious perils, the bad lifestyles, the false teaching, the idols that they could see rather than a God they could not see. How are you going to navigate that? Deuteronomy is the book that God gave, that Moses spoke to help them. And this passage is in that context. So there is an application for the nation of Israel going into the promised land. But it funnels down to within this nation, as individuals and as families, there is a responsibility. And God instructs them what this should look like. Okay, so I'd like to begin with verse 4, which is that foundational truth. He says, hear, O Israel, listen up. And it's not just so that you can hear it. It's a lot more in that word. Hear it so that you can comprehend it, you can absorb it, and you can live it. Do something about it. This is so important that he calls them to attention. He says, listen to this, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Within that statement, I believe, is the goal of parenting as you follow it up with what is our response to this? Well, you should love the Lord your God. And then what is your responsibility? Well, then teach your children how to love this God, who is God. So it all begins with that core truth. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So let me ask you, parents, what is your goal in parenting? I'm convinced that many parents, and I'm not being critical, okay? I'm just stating what I think is a fact. Many parents don't think deeply about what is the goal for parenting. And so we just assume or we slide into what seems good, okay? That might be that I just want to make my children happy. I just want happy kids, or we just want good behaviors, or we just want to help them to develop skills. Frankly, we just want to feed them and clothe them and house them. Frankly, we just want to get them through 18 years in our home. Frankly, we're just trying to cope with the most basics. Maybe a good education. And none of these things are bad. These are all good things. But what is the overarching goal of parenting? Well, I'd like to propose to you, according to this, the overarching goal in our parenting is to help our children to know how to develop a heart for the one true God, to love the God who is God, who created them. I've got a book. In fact, I've got two books I'd like to recommend to you on parenting. The first one is this one, okay? That's the book. There's another one that is very helpful. In fact, I wish I'd found it earlier in my life. I don't think it was written earlier in my life, but this is like when I read this book, this was what I was felt like we were trying to do, and somebody put it into print. The title of the book is difficult to understand, but I think you'll get it eventually. It's called Parenting. Subtitle, 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. It is an excellent book, and I highly recommend it. In fact, when I first read it that Christmas, we bought it for all of our kids that had families, because I feel that strongly about it. But anyway, on page 163, he makes this statement. The goal of parenting is not control of behavior, but rather heart and life change. And I do believe that. To pass on to our children the knowledge of God and to teach them to love and to follow the Lord is what's important. So what can we, and when we squeeze this idea of the Lord our God and the Lord is one, what is it that we get out of it? Well, there are four things that we need to help our children to know and to accept. And the first one is that he exists. The Hebrew word for, in your Bible, Lord, Yahweh, it's the Hebrew, comes from the Hebrew word from to be. That's why when God met with Moses on the mountain and the bush was burning and wasn't consumed, and he asked Moses to let his people go, or to bring his people out of Egypt, and he was going to use Moses to deliver his people. Moses' question was, what do I tell them? Who sent me? And the Lord said, tell them I am sent you. I am who I am, he said. I am. So, does he exist? Yes. We need to teach our children that. What is he like? Well, he is who he is. He is not what we think he should be, what we want him to be. He is who he is. So we need to teach our children who he really is. And he has revealed that. In fact, how can we know this? He has given us natural revelation. Pastor Josh mentioned in Sunday school this morning. In fact, here's another shameless advertisement for Sunday school. We did not conspire this morning to have him teach the class that he taught with me preaching this message, but it fits perfectly together. So he mentioned Romans 1 and mentioned verse 20, that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So we look at the things that are made, we help our children see the things that are made, and we connect them. God made this. In fact, here's a silly little illustration, but when our kids were young, my wife had some, I think at least two or maybe three of them in the bathtub, and the phone rang, and in the house we had a corded phone, and so she went, got the phone, and the cord got just about to the door of the bathroom, so she could hear that the kids were okay, and she had this conversation with a woman named Gretchen Schutz, who just liked to talk. So she talked and talked, and the kids were splashing in the bathtub, and when Gretchen was done, my wife took the phone back. She came into the bathroom, and she looked into the bathtub, and there was something floating in the water, and it's what we affectionately called a stinky little poo. And so my wife said, "All right, who made the stinky?" And Matt, I think it was, it said, "God made the stinky." Because we had taught our children, you look at that tree, who made that tree? God made that tree. Who painted that sunset? God made the sunset. Who made the stinky? God made the stinky. We've got to teach our kids. Now, God, yes, he did, and we're not going there. But we need to teach our children that God exists, and he does. I mean, we're surrounded. The heavens declare his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Everywhere we look, we see evidences of God. We help our children connect God to him, to what he has created. We also then have this special revelation that gives us specific instruction about his revealed attributes. And then we find that he is worthy of our love. And we see what is true about him. He exists. And then we need to help our children know and accept that he is our God, the Lord our God. That he is not just some entity out there, the great clock winder who created and then let his creation just kind of function on its own. He is a personal God. He is a relational God. And he allows us to have a relationship with him. That's what he desires. That's what we were created for. And it's not just religion where we're just doing certain things. It is a relationship with a very real person. And of course, this person was revealed in a very tangible way in the person of Jesus Christ. We celebrate that at Christmas. This is the person who reveals God to us. So we introduce our children to Jesus, and why is he important, and how we relate to God. We come to him, we speak to him, we know him. Christian parenting is, in essence, discipleship, which begins in the home. God exists. He is our God. We need a relationship with him. Number three, to know and accept that he is Lord. He is the Lord. He is our authority. And we are to teach our children to live under authority, to be the parent. This is a very strange bit of parenting advice, but it's parenting advice I believe in. Okay, are you ready for this? Be the parent. Don't let your children just run things. Don't just submit to everything they desire. Be the parent. We have been given authority under God's authority. And as we teach our children to submit to our authority, we are helping them to learn how to submit to the ultimate authority, which is God himself. And then finally, and as it says so clearly, we are to help our children know and accept that he is God alone. There is one God. Pastor Josh did a beautiful job last week of explaining why there is nothing else. There are only imposters. Nothing else is worthy of the kind of love that we owe to God, this all-encompassing love, where we love him in our heart, in the internal part of us. We don't just give him a nod, a lip service. We don't just tip our hat. He is our life. He is our God. He is worthy of our soul, our strength, everything that we have. And we teach our children how important it is to make those decisions that reflect that he is God and that there are not other gods. Our gods are those things that we most love and that we use as substitutes for the true God. We live for, we think about most. We spend our money and our time and our effort and our energy are all on those things. And we might give God a little nod. We might think he's a good idea, but he's not central to us. There is only one God. Now, I hasten to say, and again, Pastor Josh gave us permission to love the Packers. It's okay. He didn't give us permission to love the Bears or the Vikings. He gave us permission last week to love the Packers, as long as it's under God. It's like football is not to be the dominant thing, the only thing in our lives. It is to maybe be one of the joys or enjoyments, as he richly gives us all things to enjoy, but we have to make decisions about things in life. Is this thing taking its proper place? Is it appropriate for a person who loves God to do? So we make decisions, we teach our children to make decisions, and all of it centers on God himself. Now, all of this makes sense, and it seems like it should just be natural and normal. Why doesn't it work so well? Why doesn't it naturally happen? Why do we have to work at it and teach our children these things? Well, it's because we have a basic problem. And the problem is sin. And the effect of sin is that it separates us from God. The worst consequence of sin, it's not just how it affects us in our daily lives. The worst consequence of sin is that it breaks our fellowship with the Lord. It destroys this relationship that was at one time the most important relationship to mankind and must again be the most important relationship for mankind. That's the worst consequence. And your child needs to be brought into a right relationship with God. Because he is a sinner, somehow he needs to deal with that sin to be shown what it is and to be shown what the solution is to it. I'm not going to take time, but Genesis lays all this out. I'm just going to describe it briefly. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it talks about the creation of man, that he was created in the image of God. He reflects God in a very personal, very unique way. And that after he created man in his image and woman to be the helpmeet for man, he looked over his creation. He said it was very good. And so man was created by God. This gives him dignity. Man is an awesome creation. Your children are awesome. I don't know how to have words to describe. Your child was created by God in his very image, given by God purpose in coming into this world, and been given gifts, unique gifts to bless the world with. And this one who is so awesome has been entrusted to your care by God himself. And a child that must be recognized, and the child must be treated accordingly. Not abused, not taken for granted, not treated lightly, but to be recognized for the wonderful creation that he is. The problem is that man was corrupted by sin. This is depravity. Depravity means that your child isn't as bad as he could be, but every part of him has been somehow affected by this. He is not as God designed originally for man to be. So you look in your child and you see, wow, that is a great kid. And you look at your child and you say, wow, what's wrong with this kid? And you say, how can both of those coexist in this one little body? But it's true. Okay, so is your kid a good kid? Yeah. Is your kid a bad kid? Yeah. That's the interesting thing about humanity. And if you emphasize only one to the exclusion of the other, you've missed it. We have to see them as this precious thing. So good, and yet there's a problem, and there is a solution to that problem. The greatest need for your child is the need of salvation, the gospel, the good news. And here's another reason why it's good news. Not just that it's good news for us as individuals, it's good news for us as parents, because we have something to give to them that gives them hope, that provides forgiveness for the sin and a way of overcoming this sin, recognizing it and overcoming it. This is why, as parents, we need to keep the gospel before them, the good news of Jesus Christ. Will they accept it? That's their choice. We have no guarantees. I know that some of you have done that for many, many years, and you've got children who have chosen to reject it. You have done your job. Put it before them and do it in such a way that it's appealing, that this is what they should really want. The need is for salvation. Give them the opportunity to receive it. In a book by John MacArthur, which is entitled What the Bible Says About Parenting, there is this quote: parents have the best years of the child's life to explain, clarify, stress, and reemphasize gospel truths. Here's some foundational advice. Think of leading your children to Christ as a long-term, full-time assignment, the most important duty God has given you as a parent. I'm going to read that again. Parents have the best years of the child's life to explain, clarify, stress, and reemphasize gospel truths. Here's some foundational advice. Think of leading your children to Christ as a long-term, full-time assignment, the most important duty God has given you as a parent. That's our goal. A heart for God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, that can transform their lives. This deals with their core problem. It gives them hope. It gives them a way of life that is good and proper. It will lead ultimately to eternal glory. That's our goal. So what is your priority as a parent? Well, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, your priority. And if you look at the progression of the text, which is definite, clear, and simple, your priority is your relationship with God. You look at the progression, here's the truth, here's what you are to do about it with God, and then this is how you fulfill your responsibility with your children. What is my relationship with God? And I know, I empathize with you, there's 1,000 things going on, you have so much, and when you're in the thick of parenting, just constant motion, But you've got to have time with God. And I am not suggesting that it's just like, okay, if I do 19 minutes of devotion in the morning, that's the ticket. I'm talking about having a heart for God that says, I want time with him. I want to put him in his place. I want him to be what he ought to be in my life. And then I can teach my children. I can show them. It can be more than just a speech I give. It can be a life that's lived in front of them. And that is what we're called to. Christian child rearing doesn't begin with technique, but with a heart for God. To possess the very thing that you are trying to pass down. A genuine, growing love for the Lord and daily walk with him and dependence on him for what we need most. You say, that is an enormous ask. It's true, but you know what? It's a growing thing. It's like we accept Christ, we trust him, and then every day we grow from one state of glory to the next. We grow and we get help in growing. We come to church, we meet people, we get the word, the things that help us to grow. And that's what positions us to have the strength and the wisdom and the things we need for resources in parenting. And it positions us then to be blessed of God as we parent our children. God blesses this. And what we need is the grace of God. My wife and I each have a word that is our summary word if people ask it, what's important about parenting? I have a word and she has a word, which really demonstrates the difference between us, kind of. But my word is this. It's the word grace. Now, by grace, I don't mean that we show grace to our children. Certainly, we need to do that. But by grace, I mean I've got the grace of God is his kindness to me, even though I don't deserve it. He is good to me, and I need that. And I depend upon that. And it's available to me. And if I seek it, he gives it to me. I've got to have his grace. And when it comes down to it, if whatever happens that's good happens by his grace and his blessing. So I trust him for that. And I depend upon his grace. In fact, if you want some verses that I have learned to depend on, you've heard me over the years, if you've been in the church, you've heard me preach, you've heard these come up all the time because they are me. They're just a part of me. And a lot of that is because of my parenting. It's because I've had to apply these. They've been so extremely valuable to me. I'm going to give you four of them, okay? And these are not just, I memorized these for the test. These are, I've had to live these and depend on them. Like, this is the truth that keeps me going. One is Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can blow it as parents. There is mercy. Every day I think of parenting is a day where we have the need of grace. So we seek him for it. And I'm here to tell you the basis of God's word, but on the basis of my own experience. God is faithful to give us grace. Kindness is shown to us as we tackle the challenges of parenting. Here's another one, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom. Parents, do you hear that? If any of you lack wisdom, what do? Let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And he doesn't rebuke us for coming. And the Bible says that he will give it if we ask in faith, nothing wavering. So we ask him for wisdom. And again, it doesn't just poof us with wisdom. It gives it in very interesting ways. But when we seek it, he is good to give it. It gives it through his word, through people, through a number of circumstances of life sometimes. But he is good to give wisdom if we seek him for it. Here's another one, Matthew 6:33. You seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. All these things will be added to you. All these secondary, important, but secondary things. If we seek first the kingdom of God, and is righteous. So we look to the King and we want his righteousness, we want his right way. That's our desire. He is good to add all the other things unto us. And then 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I'm not trying to be self-deprecating. I'm just telling you the truth. I think I'm the most average man on earth. I think I'm just like everybody, and I've got my weaknesses, and boy, I need his strength. And that's what I find in his word. He gives strength by his grace. He really, really does. And when you, but he'll take you to the edge. He'll let you look over the cliff. But that's that. See, you're looking over the cliff, and that draws you to seek him. Lord, I need your grace today. Give me your strength. There's another one, Philippians 4:13. That's, I could keep going. And then he does. He's very faithful to do that. So parents, rely on these, the scriptures, the voice of God to you as you develop in your relationship with him. I'm going to tell you this. Okay, if you've come to this message, you say, what is that one thing? Okay, he's just bloviating on and on. What's the one thing, Pastor? I'm going to give you an illustration. My wife loves mourning. She's, and I don't understand it. I've lived with her for 43 years, and I don't understand it. I'm not that way. But she gets up and, oh, look at that sunrise, and I'm getting up and not seeing the sunrise, really. But she, amen. Thank you, whoever you are. All right. But she loves to get up in the morning, and so she almost always gets up before me. And all through most of her parenting, we had a blue chair. You guys remember the blue chair? It's not there anymore. I can tell you how it has deteriorated. And it's not the power of the blue chair. It's just that I would find her when I would get up, sitting in the blue chair, reading her Bible, praying for her family, developing in her relationship with the Lord. My wife is a very busy woman, but she sought the Lord. She trusted the Lord. She found what she needed in the Word of God. And I really believe with all my heart, that's why God has given us children who have followed the Lord. That's that heart that God has blessed. Now, there's no guarantee in that. Again, she wasn't scheduling 19 minutes. If I get that in, God's obligated to bless me. That's not it. It's like she's seeking God. And she's not here. She wouldn't love me to be sharing this, but she's in the other room. So don't tell her I said this, okay? But it's the truth. My wife loves God, and she has sought the Lord, and the Lord has blessed our family because of it. And I believe he does that, a relationship with God. So he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Have a heart for God, to love God with all of your heart, to have a delight in him. And to obey him, as Pastor Josh said last week, those two things. We delight in him, and we fulfill our duty to him. It is an affectionate devotion to our God, and this is our motive. Not to get something out of him, but to please him. I want to make this really clear, this point, and I believe in it so strongly. As parents, we need to do what we do, not for effect, not for an outcome, but simply because you believe that it's right before God. And then leave the outcomes to him. I am called to love him and to teach my children. And when I do that faithfully, he is pleased. Even if the outcome is not what I had hoped for or what I had expected. Do it because you love God. And then a heart for God's word, to learn God's word at a heart level. These words, verse 6, these words are the words that Moses had already spoken, particularly in chapter 5, the Ten Commandments, which is a summary of the whole law. He said, these words, get them in your heart so you're living them out. And they're not just rules for life, rules for successful living, okay? These are ways that we show our love for God. These are God's revealed truths that the covenant God, if you're going to keep covenant with me, fellowship with me, relationship with me, this is what I expect. This is what honors me. And so I do it not just because it's the rules. I do it because I love God and this is what he's revealed. And therefore, I'm learning it and I'm growing in it. And then it becomes natural for me to uphold it before my family. In my home, we love God. I love the Lord. And I'm going to be jealous for these principles. Because that's what God loves. That is what honors God. And that's how I can love him. Of course, we have more revelation than they had, which is a great blessing. But it means that we need to be in it and learning in it and growing it. Growing in it. Now, left myself about 5 minutes. Verse 7. The goal, loving the Lord. The priority is my personal relationship. And then he says, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And talk about them. When you're in your home, and you're says sitting in your home, you're sitting around, talk about it. And when you're by the way that's out and about, talk about it. And when you lie down, and when you rise up, so wherever you are, and all the places, and whatever time it is, it's appropriate to be talking and teaching these things. That brings it out of just the formal church setting and it puts it into real life, and that's where it belongs. Certainly, church has an important role in all of this. But boy, as parents, the primary responsibility belongs to you. May our church be really good at ministering to children. Church, we need to be really good at this. That's a passion of my heart. We need to be really good at one and Sunday school and junior church and camp and just caring about the kids. Might be annoying when they're running around. Love them. Interact with them. Show them how good it is. Be a part of this body of believers. Support the parents. That's important. All of that's important. Parents, get your kids to church. Let the church help you as you teach them. But the primary responsibility is yours. God is not confined to a certain time, place, or activity. So make sure that you are teaching your children and talking about them, talking about the word with them in all the routines of life. This evening, my wife and I are going to do a Q&A. We've asked if you have a question to submit it. You can email, you can put it on a card in our box, hand it to me, whatever. I'm going to talk a little more about some specific ways that we taught our children formally and informally in our home. I invite you to come, but it's so important that we do this. It is a long-term process, so commit yourself to the long view of parenting because change is a process, not an event. It takes time. We get 18 years with them in our home, and let's use those years. Well, one final point, verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates. I've thought a lot about this because you read about the Pharisees in the New Testament. They've got their phylacteries. And what that is taking this verse, they put scriptures in a little box and they strap the box to the back of their hand and wrap it up their arm and they show off. Yeah, we've got the word of God here. Dan Peterson made a really good point last Sunday night. They were pretty good at the outward, but Jesus had to constantly rebuke the inward. It's like, you don't get it. You can parade it out there like, yeah, I've got the word of God. But what is it inside? Is it there? Have you bound it to your heart? So I think what he's talking about here is not the phylactery or the mezuzah where they put it on the doorposts and they kiss it and it's got a little scripture in it and it's great. That's a good representative thing. I think what he's getting at here is that it's always got to be close, bind it. It needs to be visible. It needs to be shown outwardly. And not just in a box, but in your life. And it should be very visible in your home so that you are identified constantly with your covenant commitment to your God. And your children are surrounded by truth, the reminders of truth, the tools that teach truth. They see it in your life. They see it in your home. That is so important, and it can be done by the grace of God. Thank you for your great attention and patience. I know we've gone a little bit over this morning, but frankly, the kids stole some of my time, so I'm going to blame them. But I'd like to close, if you would, in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for that beautiful picture in Scripture of you being our Father and we being your precious sons. You're such a good Father, and we're so grateful for you. And I pray that we would heed the instruction of Deuteronomy 6 to know that the Lord our God is one, to love our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love the Word of God, to put it in our hearts. Give us grace to teach our children. And I pray again for the parents here. Oh, Lord, give them great success as they seek to live this out. Bless them in all the details and demands of everyday life in their homes. And I pray that the children would truly, truly respond. By your grace, that we would see many, many come to faith in you and to live life for you as you have designed. I praise you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. What an encouraging message. And we'd like to close this morning by singing our theme song for this study in Deuteronomy. And it really applies to our study this morning on parenting. Our God will go before us. What a wonderful promise for us as believers and especially as parents to know that our Savior